for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, July the 2nd, 1990. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is teaching number 3 of a 5-part series of teachings by Colonel Speed Wilson.
A World Conspiracy. And today is the second day of July, the year of our Lord, 1990. The reason I give that is in the past, people have accused me because what I've said come to pass, and they said I made the tape after the fact. No, I read the book, God's book. Amen. And he says 9 times in the New Testament, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. And I want you ladies to know that brethren includes sisterin. So. So, when I enlisted in the Marine Corps, June 1942, I took an oath. I solemnly pledge that I will obey the orders of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me. But a year later, when I graduated from Pensacola, Florida, as a second lieutenant in the United States Marine Corps with high hopes of being a fighter pilot, which I did, I took another oath. I didn't understand it at that time as I do now. The oath was very simple. I solemnly swear I will defend the Constitution of these United States against all enemies, foreign or domestic, so help me God. I didn't pledge allegiance to the President of the United States. I was confirmed by the Senate just as he was, just as his cabinet would be. All commissioned officers are with the advice and consent of the Senate, but you serve at the pleasure of the President. In other words, he can can you anytime he wants to. And I was just sure that our enemy at that time was the Japanese and the Germans, foreign. But I know better now, they're among us. Abraham Lincoln had a lot to say about that. There are many excellent books on it, but when I first came into this, and I won't go into that, but J. Edgar Hoover, the first director of the FBI, and was for many, many years the head of the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and he wrote a book, and he quoted this many times, and this is what he had to say about it. The individual person is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous that the person cannot believe that it really exists. He's a lawyer who knew the legal definition of conspiracy, and it is a conspiracy. Before I forget it, there's an excellent book over here. It's a rather old one, but it's still current. None dare call it conspiracy. There is an update by one of the co-authors there, and the new book is Call It Conspiracy. 20 years later, it became sure that it is a conspiracy. Some deny it. They don't want to believe it. Just as Hoover said, it interfered with my golf game or any other thing that is good. No? It's been around a while. I think one of the most clear definitions of this is written in a book entitled The Unseen Hand. And they make great efforts so that you don't see the hand of this conspiracy. The name of the book, Unseen Hand, by Ralph Epperson, E-P-P-E-R-S-O-N. There are many excellent books. And here's what he says. There is a huge, extremely powerful conspiracy at work in the world to achieve absolute and brutal rule over the whole human race. This conspiracy is made up of a small group of individuals who control wars, revolutions, and depressions, like people control chessmen on the board. These individuals operate in part through secret societies that are created for specific purposes and events. But listen to this. The secret within the secret is that they worship Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Our next session, I'll name those people for you. But we just want to establish this. Now, this is not a new situation. It's been around for a while. Listen to what Benjamin Disraeli had to say about it in 1876. He was the Prime Minister of England. Quote, "The governments of the present day, 1876, have to deal not merely with other governments, with emperors, with kings and ministers, but also with secret societies, which have everywhere their unscrupulous agents and can, at a moment, upset any and all government plans." Churchill had something to say about it. From the days of Spartacus Weishaupt, and we'll come to him, he founded the order called the Illuminati, first day of May, 1776, to those of Karl Marx, to those of Trotsky of Russia, Rosa Luxemburg, Germany, Bella Kuhn, Hungary, Emma Goldman, United States, this worldwide conspiracy for the overthrow of civilization and for the reconstitution of society on the basis of arrested development, that's a continuing depression, of envious malevolence and impossible equity and equality, has been steadily growing. It played a definite, recognizable role in the tragedy of the French Revolution. It has been the mainspring of every subversive movement during the 19th century, and I would add the 20th century getting bigger. And now, at last, this band of extraordinary personalities from the underworld of the great cities of Europe and America have gripped the Russian people by the hair of their heads and leading them into slavery, and has become practically the undisputed master of this enormous empire. A current one, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, our brother in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was in prison for many years in the Soviet Union and then was released. And he says this, "There also exists another conspiracy." Let's talk first about the devil's conspiracy. I don't see any difference. "At first glance, it's a strange one, maybe even a surprising one. But if you think about it, in fact, one that is well-grounded and easy to understand. It is a conspiracy between our communist leaders and your capitalist leaders." Woodrow Wilson, he was betrayed. He later became a part of it as a matter of probably survival. Quote, 1914, "There is a powerful organization, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that speak above a whisper when you condemn it. Abe Lincoln saw it." In fact, they killed him. Quote, "The money powers prey upon the nation in times of peace and conspire against it in times of adversity. It is most despotic than a monarchy, more insolent than an autocracy, more selfish than a bureaucracy. I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations have been enthroned. An era of corruption in high places will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices, black and white, racial problems of the people, until the wealth is aggregated into a few hands and the public and the republic will be destroyed." End quote, Abe Lincoln. Well, that's history. Slavery was not the issue of the Civil War. The Union was preserved at a great cost. Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth, who was a member of the Knights of the Golden Circle, one of the secret societies. The South was humiliated. In fact, one of the Rothschild groups backed the South, and another group of Rothschilds backed the North. Well, does the Bible talk about a one-world government? I think so, as we'll come to that in a minute. I want to impart some knowledge to you. Now that we've established there is a conspiracy by all authority, wisdom comes from God, but knowledge requires a little effort. As Brother Golden showed us last night, the scripture says, "Study to show yourself approved." Many people read the Bible, but very few people study it. There is a difference. Some of them read it just to look holy, I found out. I'm suspicious of people that bear great big Bibles, but that's all right. Oh, there's a joke on that. You've heard of a rooster that went around and he had a great big Bible and he'd always go, "Buck, buck, buck." And there he goes, "Buck, buck, buck." finally he ran into a wise frog, and the frog said, "Read it. Read it." Well, we know the scripture, Hosea 4:6, Isaiah 15:3, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." You ought to read the rest of the sentence. It says, "Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you." Knowledge requires effort. Before we're through in this session and the next one, you'll know why things have happened the way they have in the past, why we were not allowed to win wars, and then when we did, we gave them away. As Congressman Walter Judd said, we have that great ability to be able to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory every time. Then you'll understand what is happening, and you can begin to understand what will happen in the future. As I see it, there are three kinds of people in the natural world. Those that never know what's happening, those who understand what's happening, and then the others who stand around and say, "What happened?" You know. I'd at least like to know what, so I could take some action. Pat Robertson is absolutely right. He says that if the Christians are going to survive, we must become involved. Remember our teacher the other morning? Become involved. What do you think the Lord meant when he says, "Occupy till I come"? Occupy is a military term where you take over. You occupy until I come. Take dominion. It is a military term. We must gain knowledge, then pray, and then take action. As he pointed out, in the body of Christ, there's a lot of prayer. Very little action. And whatever action was taken was based on total ignorance of what you had gotten from the control conspirators' news media. And we'll name those for you in the next session, too. And we'll even give you some papers that you can trust. Well, the Bible says there would be a one-world government, I believe, and God does create situations quite often to bring his own people back to him or to destroy the wicked. Sometimes he combines them in a single action. I was startled a long time ago, not anymore, when I read in Jeremiah 25:9, the Lord said, "Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, shall utterly destroy Jerusalem." And he did. He called him his servant. And he did that. It was spread Jerusalem 588 B.C. And as we showed you, the 7-year desolation. Well, the scriptures that show us that there will be a one-world government. One that we quote at Christmas time is very interesting. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. Written 2,700 years ago, and it's just about to come to pass. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government," singular, "the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We call him Jesus our Lord. "And of the increase of his government and his peace there will be no end, to establish it with judgment and justice." Hallelujah. Do you see justice today? No, you don't. "And from henceforth and forever and ever, and the power of the Lord of hosts will perform it," or do this. Forever and ever sounds like eternity, doesn't it? And he isn't elected, not by the masses anyway. God's going to do it. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. "In a vision I saw the Son of Man coming in the cloud from heaven." Sounds like the New Testament, doesn't it? "And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom," singular, "composed of all nations and all languages, that they should all serve him. And his dominion or rule is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall never be destroyed." They can't be two forever and ever, can they? Same term of office. 15. "And the seventh angel," the last one, "sounded the trumpet, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign," or "they shall reign forever and ever." We know who the Lord is. Who's the Christ? The saints, his anointed ones. And that's confirmed in Revelation and other places. The overcomers, Revelation 24, verse 4. "And his saints," the overcomers, "reigned with Christ," with God's anointing, "forever." Daniel 7, 18. "And the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever." Well, let's look at some of these organizations. And first, I'd like to show you its origin to confirm that they do come straight from the pit of hell. The world conspiracy began in Babylon. the first central banking system, controlled by a very small group. We'll come back to that. Completely anti-God. In fact, Mystery Babylon that we're talking about, the book a while ago, is an excellent expose of the false religion that started there. And it's taken from the false religion's own books of the origin. Excellent book. Recommend it. But after the central banking system there was well known, now there's some personalities. The Rothschilds had picked that up. There's an excellent book entitled The Rothschilds. I read it when I was a freshman at the University of Texas and thought it was a great success story. But there was a man by the name of Weishaupt. We mentioned his name a minute ago. He was a very interesting individual. He was a descendant, or claimed to be, from the tribe of Judah. But he was an ordained Jesuit priest in the Roman Catholic Church, and had gone as high as he could go as a warlock in the dark arts of witchcraft. A nice mixture. And it's in some of our Protestant churches, too. There's a church in Washington, D.C. that has a Ouija board in the basement that'll operate a typewriter for you. United Methodist and Absolute Churches. And Weishaupt needed three more books for to go him to go any further. There were the Kabbalah, which is the basis of most false religions, a Babylonian document, just as the Talmud of the Hebrews is out of there. Then the Minor Key of Solomon and the Major Key of Solomon. Remember, Solomon fell and became a Satan worshiper, occult, so forth. And he needed those. And he found that the Rothschilds possessed those books. So the Rothschilds combined their Satan worship with Weishaupt and his cabalistic crafts, and they created their own Golden Dawn coven, their coven or congregation. And that was on the first day of May 1776, they created the Golden Dawn coven. The branch of the Golden Dawn coven in the United States is the Bohemia Club of California up by San Francisco. Some, they call it the Bohemia Grove. They meet there regular. Some of the present-day members of the Satan worship activities there is our former Secretary of State Schultz, George Schultz, of course, David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and on down the line. And they have had human sacrifices there. It's been estimated that of the 20,000 children that are missing in the United States every year, at least two-thirds are offered as human sacrifices in Satan worship. First day of May, 1776. First day of May is the birthday of the occult god Baltane. That's the reason they chose that date. Baltane, B-A-L-T-A-N-E, meaning the god of light. Therefore, they became the light bearers, Illuminati, the enlightened ones. Isn't that interesting? The Bible even tells us of that. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, Baltane. And, of course, we're finding other interesting aspects today. Not a coincidence. I often wondered, why do the communists, the labor unions, and all the witchcraft and operations all celebrate May Day worldwide? The Russian Revolution was in October, 17th of October, 1917. When I saw this, I knew they're all of the same spirit, the spirit of Antichrist and the false gods. Interesting, and you'll be hearing a lot more of this. The first Earth Day, and that's Satanic Earth Day of 1920, and the recent one, the 20th Earth Day, 1990, all fell on Lenin's birthday. Coincidence, not much. 200 million people participated in that. 120,000 descended on Washington, D.C. They want a clean Earth. It took a whole week of extra time for the people to clean up the garbage they left behind. I once went to a clean air meeting in Washington, D.C. just to see what the idiots were doing. I'd gone to this, and when I got to their meeting room, we couldn't see across the room for cigarette smoke, and they wanted clean air. You talk about, not all the hypocrites in the church, a few of them were in the ecological movement, which is financed by the conspirators. And they'll come back to why they want to do that a little later on. Well, in the early 20s, Rothschilds and Rockefellers combined because the Rockefellers had become very wealthy through oil in the United States. and they wanted a piece of the action. So they did, and formed some organizations. John Cecil Rhodes was very instrumental in all of this as a front man. The front man today is Henry Kissinger. In fact, we have a tape, I believe, we made here some years ago, and I haven't changed a bit. Mr. 666, and Henry Kissinger is him. We'll prove it mathematically and by scriptures. He's the only man in the world that belongs to all six policy-level operations of this conspiracy. And all of his people are always appointed to high office. I want to read you again from an individual who saw where this was going, and he appeared before Congress in 1953, and here's what he said. His name is Rowan Gaither, president of the Ford Foundation. Just about 3 years ago, Edsel Ford, number three or four, resigned from the Ford Foundation on the Board of Governors. Not any paper printed his resignation. He said, "I resign because the Ford Foundation has become an anti-Christian, anti-American, and anti-liberty organization, and I'll no longer be a part of that." And that's what all of these tax-exempt foundations are about. Well, here's what Mr. Gaither had to say before the committee. "We at the executive level of the Ford Foundation," and this would apply for Rockefeller, Carnegie, all the other foundations, "at the executive level, we're active either in the OSS," that's the CIA today, "the State Department, or the European Economic Administration. During those times, and without exception, we operated under directives issued from the White House, and we continue to be guided by just such directives, the substance of which were to the effect that we," now listen to this, "we should make every effort to so alter life in the United States as to make it possible for a comfortable merger with the Soviet Union. That's the reason you're losing your liberties day by day through the ACLU and the American Way and all the other Antichrist organizations and the Supreme Court. If anyone's a Rhodes Scholar, it's a dead giveaway. The governor of this great state of Arkansas is a Rhodes Scholar. His name will be mentioned many times in the years to come for the presidency. May be elected, although there's some other contenders of the conspiracy for the election, both Democrat and Republican. Well, Supreme Court Wizard White, there's a Rhodes Scholar, and we'll get back there as I tend to drift off on these personalities. We're going to get them all in a package in the next talk as to who they are and what their objectives. So we'll reduce our freedoms here, we'll destroy our economy, we'll gain more and more control. If you think we have a free economy, talk to a farmer. They're actually destroying millions of tons of oranges out in California now to keep the prices up. The government is causing it to occur. The stupidity of spending millions, if not billions of dollars to tell you that cigarettes will kill you and then pay the farmers to raise tobacco. Yeah. 390,000 Americans die every year from smoking cigarettes. AIDS may be horrible, but ever since AIDS has been known in the United States, fewer than 80,000 have died. I wish I could get off on showing you how stupid the liberals are. I agree with a man who said, "Liberalism is not a political philosophy, it's a mental illness." They're completely inconsistent. They'll tell you on the one hand, when a Soviet young man wanted to stay in the United States there and go home with his parents, the ACLU, he was 14 years old, said, "No, parents have absolute control and responsibility over a child." Then they turn right around and tell you that your teenage daughter, a minor, can have an abortion without telling you, and she can use birth control devices without telling you, because it violates her privacy. You cannot burn garbage on the steps of the Congress nor the Supreme Court building, but you can burn an American flag. There are laws against burning garbage of mental illness. They'll hate you for no cause. The Antichrist spirit will hate you when they don't know why. The Lord told you that. Well, world organizations, they will recognize these. You'll hear them quoted many times in the news. First, we mentioned the Illuminati. They prefer not to be called that because everybody recognizes the name. Moriah has replaced it, or Club of Rome. Not directly associated with Roman Catholic Church, but not totally isolated from it either. Isn't it interesting? the Vatican's bank that almost went belly up, the head of the bank was a Mason. You would have thought if at least he would have been a member of the secret organization, the Knights of Columbus, or a Jesuit priest. The Jesuits and their freedom, their liberation theology are behind all the problems down in Central America. And so are the Mary No Nuns. That's the reason they're being killed, they're helping the communists. If I was in charge of the freedom fighters down there, that'd be the first group I'd go after. They say that Christ was a revolutionary. Then he required everyone to live in communion, acts in community relations, like in Acts chapter 2, remember? Well, you ought to read the rest of the Bible. Even Christians couldn't live under that system, and Paul was having to take offerings to support the church back in Jerusalem. Communism didn't even work with Christians. The funny part is also in Europe right now, when everyone knows that communism doesn't work, every country that's ever embraced communism went to the bottom of the economic scale and the people suffered. And now when they want to have a debate between the Marxist and the capitalist, they don't have anyone to take the Marxist side. They have to import a professor from some university in the United States. One of the leaders in an African country was asked, why do you send your children when you're a Christian and you are a Democrat, the Democratic government, and a capitalist? Why do you send your children to Moscow to be educated? He said, I can send them to Moscow and they'll get an excellent education and they will see that communism doesn't work. I send them to the United States, they'll get a mediocre education and come home communist. And atheist. Well, that's just the way it is, and it's all planned. The Bilderbergers. In 1954, a professor, Dr. Rittinger, a Polish philosopher, had looked back through history and found that public opinion follows the lead of certain individuals. So he presented at the Prince Bernhard of the Royal Dutch Netherlands, not a poor man by any state, Shell Oil Company, he's president of the board, North American Phillips, every cassette you buy is here, he gets a rake in off of it, and on and on. And so they held a meeting of 80 leading people, 20 of them were Americans, present were Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger. And today, some of the most notable members of the Bilderbergers, just to show you, is Gerald Ford, Prime Minister Thatcher, and others on down the way. The London Royal Institute of International Affairs, that grew out of the old Fabian Society. One of the members of the Fabian Society was Joe Kennedy, the father of the Kennedy clan, an endangered species. I hope they don't put it on the survival list. But we could do just as well without it. I'd like to see Metzenbaum and Cranston and a few other senators. The scripture says the heathen become our inheritance. Well, I've got some heathens picked out that I want to inherit. And now that's flesh, but they need some help, and I plan to give it to them. But the Institute of French International Affairs. Then we come down to the United States. The Council on Foreign Relations, known as the COFR, founded in 1921. Chairman is David Rockefeller. Some of the former members of the COFR directors. The first one was Zbigniew Brzezinski, and then Henry Kissinger. Then Zbigniew Brzezinski went to Columbia University. If anybody's a graduate of Columbia University or any Ivy League school, he's highly suspect, but Columbia for sure. They put Eisenhower, a member, to be president of Columbia University, who was a part of the traitor. That's how the Russians got Eastern Europe, was through his operations in the war. And they made him president there so that they could make him out something besides a vacuum-headed, smiling general. And he was elected president because I like Ike. He smiles so beautifully. But he sure flushed us down the tube in many aspects. Well, and one of the directors was Winston Lord. Did you know that every Secretary of State since 1924, this organization came into being in 1921, every Secretary of State since 1924 has been a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. And someone doesn't believe there's a conspiracy. Yes, Jim Baker today is a member of the CFR. He's also a member of the Trilateral Commission, which we'll come to. I think it was interesting, in 1979, someone asked Winston Lord, who was the director, does the Trilateral Commission run the world? No, he says, the Council on Foreign Relations does that. He's probably right. But Henry Kissinger was asked one time, does the CFR and Trilateral Commission run the world? And he said, no, I do that rather well myself. Very modest little fellow. And then comes the Trilateral Commission. By the way, before we get away from it, did you know that George Bush is a member of both of them and was once director of the Council of Foreign Relations? George Bush is also a third-generation member of the occult Yale outfit called the Skull and Bones. The death signal. He will not deny it. Even the Washington Post, which I call the Washington Compost, in the letters asked if George Bush was a member of the Skull and Bones, and the answer was, that is correct. Even they stumble on the truth accidentally once in a while. Then the Trilateral Commission came out of David Rockefeller reading a book by Zbigniew Brzezinski entitled Between Two Ages. Isn't that interesting? The devil seems to know that we're between two ages. But this was one showing that we had to move into an age where we would have a one-world government, a one-world economy, and the whole thing. You'll hear a lot of interdependence. That's the key, that's a buzzword for the whole thing. The world is interdependent. And because there's always a little truth in the lie, it's palatable. And so Rockefeller thought that was real great. And besides, they had a problem with a man called Nixon, who was a member of the CFR, and so was the Prime Minister of Japan, Mr. Tanaka. But Tanaka and Nixon teamed up to break their countries out of their control, and Tanaka went to jail, and Nixon was disgraced. And so they decided they needed something to keep that from happening in the future, so they created the Trilateral Commission. Trilateral means North America, United States and Canada, Western Europe and Japan, controlling about 90% of the world's industrial wealth in that trilateral organization. In the beginning, each of those triads had 60 members. Some charter members of the Trilateral Commission was Jimmy Carter and Fritz Mondale. Somebody said, how did Fritz and Grits ever get together? Well, they met over at the Rockefeller House. So was Andy Young, the first secretary to ambassador of the United Nations at that time, mayor of Atlanta at this time. Out of the 60 American members that were charter members of the Trilateral Commission, Jimmy Carter had 32 of them in his government. Now, if you had that many vegetarians in the government, somebody would get upset. How would you think they would get if you had that many tongue speakers in the government? James Watt didn't fare too well, and neither did any other Christians. By the way, when the Reagan administration came in, I went through and picked up the people. George Bush picked most of his cabinet, but Mr. Reagan picked a few of his own. They put Richard Allen in as the National Security Council right in the White House. And he wasn't a member, and I said, he won't last 6 months. He didn't. He made it five before he was gone. James Watt was not a member. He didn't last very long. In fact, the only one of the Christians and the only one of the members who were not of the Reagan cabinet, who were not members of the conspiracy, Ed Meese was the only one that survived. And they were after him all the way through. And by the end of the Reagan administration, Reagan stood alone as the only non-member in his cabinet. People who understood this said if George Bush was their choice to be president, that whoever got the nomination would have to take George Bush as their vice president, and that turned out to be true. Well, the Trilateral Commission, the Atlantic Council, a whole bunch of those people around. Let's stop just for a minute for the Council on Foreign Relations. This is as of 1987. They're in the CFR, 2,440 members. Membership is by invitation only. 678 were for big executives, including the banking industry. 608 leading academians and college administrators, brainwashing your children. 318 U.S. government officials, the vice president, the chief of staff, secretary of state, secretary of defense, secretary of treasurer, chairman of the joint chiefs of staff, and chief of the naval operations. Those are still true today. Dick Cheney, secretary of defense, member of Trilateral and Council of Foreign Relations. And we'll get into those personnel later. 292 non-profit tax-exempt foundations. Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie, and others, all supporting this. 262 journalists and correspondents. Dan Rather, David Brinkley, other Walters, on down the line. All the executives and all the major media operations are all members. 14 U.S. senators. I think about 17 congressmen.
And as I said before, here in 1990, over 300 CFO and Child Auto members in the Bush cabinet. Well, there are now 90 members of the American in the Child Auto Commission, 90 in Western Europe, the European Economic Community, and 75 Japanese. In 1983, the Child Auto Commission was created in 73. The Institute of International Economics met to create a one-world currency. They suggested it might be called the Phoenix. But to get the people of the world to embrace a single currency, which of course will lead to a single economy and world so forth, they would have to contrive a crisis, a worldwide crisis, and they will. Give you a little clue to a safe place to go. The Rockefellers, some 3 years ago, completed 22 large mansions in Canberra, Australia. That's the capital of Australia. Those houses are completely furnished and waiting with a nephew of David Rockefeller there as a caretaker. Something very unpleasant is about to happen in the United States, and the Rockefellers will go to Australia to come back. By the way, I forgot to mention that all the heads of all the unions of any power in the United States are either trilateralists or councils of foreign relations, so they can bring on a crisis anytime they want to. They've had a few drills, like the non-energy crisis and the 9 October market crash, and recently one over in Japan, just testing to see if they can do it. Then the one world government. The crisis will be so bad that we will be volunteering to come into a one world government. In fact, we'll even demand it. Isn't that interesting? This was quite a, you know, you've heard all the garbage about the 10 countries of the European country and all is going to fulfill prophecy. Yeah, the biggest bunch of hogwash you ever heard, because as our brother pointed out last night, the stone that came rolling down the mountain destroyed those 10 toes that they placed their whole thing on, and they're never to be recombined. But this group, listen to this, this is out of Revelation 17:12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings or 10 rulers which received no kingdom as yet. In other words, it was for the future. But receive power as kings for a very short period of time with the beast. They have one mind. They have all of one objective. And shall give their power and strength unto the beast system. Well, it was no surprise to me to find out about 2 years ago that this group had divided the world into, you guessed it, 10 areas. And we wonder if God has everything under control. Here are the 10 areas. North America, that's Canada, United States. Group 2, Western Europe, including 24 nations. So, when we come to this in a minute, did you know that the European Economic Community, all the laws have already been passed, and they will become one country, first day of January, 1993. They'll have a common currency, they'll have one passport, just like the United States of America. That's already been passed, but it will be expanded to include 24 nations. Then Japan, it stands along in group number 4. That would also include Australia, Israel, New Zealand, Oceania, South Africa, and Tanzania. Then group 5 is Eastern Europe. Well, that's interesting. They're sort of merging too. That's 8 nations. Group number 6 is Latin America, 27 nations. Then group number 7 is North Africa and the Middle East. That'll be 21 nations. And then main Africa, 10 nations. And then, it's 33 nations. And then 9 is South and Southeast Asia, 16 nations. And the last group is Central Planned Asia, and 4 countries in that. And so that will come to pass, and they will have the one world government, and in fact it's working pretty much like that right now. And it's very interesting, maybe you didn't know it, but they've divided the United States into 10 regions. This has been going for quite a while. The states no longer run their own fates. I think you know that. At least the governors all know it. They're run by regions, 10 regions the United States has been divided into also. Buying and selling with a number. I've made a tape here, the mark of the beast, or buying and selling with a number. Revelations 13:16-17 says the time will come when nobody will be able to buy unless they have this mark or an identifying number. And we show you very clearly it's not the mark of the beast. If you want to know what it is here in the United States, it's your Social Security number. See, the letter S, or stigma, in the Greek alphabet represents the number 6. Social Security System, 666. If you're from Canada, it's your social insurance number, SIN. It's your SIN number. And God has a sense of humor. But when we do that, it'll be all computerized, operated by scanners, which you've seen in the stores, and it will give this group absolute control. You won't have to make out an income tax. They'll know everything you did with a piece of plastic or identifying, or just the palm of your hand. Each hand is different from the other, and each forehead is different from the other. Well, the tub of Rome, so you can understand what's happening with the AIDS virus. The Club of Rome, about 10 years ago, maybe 15, issued a report called the Global 2000 Report. And in that, they decided that by the year 2000, 1 billion non-productive eaters would have to be destroyed in the world. Non-productive eaters. You know where that came from? Hermann Göring of Hitler's regime. Killing non-productive eaters. They're worthless. You know, around the age of 75 or 80, some of us have become non-productive. Or even when you wanted to retire, you're non-productive. And certainly, because we're using up all their resources, we're consuming their world. Well, how are they going to do it? Starvation. Did you know right now, according to the World Food Studies, that an average of 60,000 people die every day? 60,000 die every day. Most of them at the hands of the communists, like Ethiopia. Haul them out in the desert and dump them. Now, how are they going to do it? Starvation. Did you know right now, according to the World Food Studies, that an average of 60,000 people die every day? 60,000 die every day. Most of them at the hands of the communists, like Ethiopia. Haul them out in the desert and dump them. And through wars, Iraq, Iran, over 1 million people killed in that war. The communists killed nearly 2 million people in Afghanistan. Compare that to South Africa, where fewer than 3,000 have died, and most of those are tribal warfare. Blacks killing blacks. We have friendly relations with the Soviet Union, and we're killing South Africa. AIDS, what an excellent way to get rid of people. There have been many studies on this, and they all come to the same conclusion that the AIDS virus originated in the World Health Organization, called the WHO, the WHO. In fact, there's an excellent book published now, Who Murdered Africa? W.H.O. Who Murdered Africa? What they did was they developed the AIDS virus through engineering techniques and electromagnetics up in Maryland at the WHO organization, where there are more communists in the World Health Organization than there are Americans, and yet we pay the bill. So they came up with this virus that they extracted from, I don't need to get into the technical end of it, but they mixed it with smallpox vaccines and then started to inoculate all of Africa against smallpox. Remember that program? It's been estimated right now that better than 50% of all the Central Africans are carrying the AIDS virus, and within 10 years, the central portion of Africa will be barren. There'll be nobody there. They'll all be dead. They were non-productive eaters, and the wealth of Africa is immeasurable. So that's how they got it. And then, of course, the dopies, they would consider them non-productive eaters. Well, they don't eat very much, but they sure consume a lot of dope. And the needles get that. And then the homosexuals. I don't know why they wanted to get them. I think that's just a spin-off, because many of these people are homosexual also. And they withhold new cures. There are many diseases that can be very easily cured, but a controlled medical profession will not allow it to be used, because it would empty the hospital beds very quick. Particularly, as this Surgeon General pointed out, that 390,000 Americans die every year from smoking the cigarette, and half of the hospital beds are occupied. People are there because of the cigarette. And the irony is that we're going to boycott Thailand because Thailand will not allow us to, they will not import American tobacco. Moving on to organizations. The Atlantic Council, they planned all the stuff of the Atlantic. Then the Pacific Basin Institute in 1979 to exploit the 20 nations of the Pacific Basin. Then the Commission on Critical Choices for Americans. Isn't that great to have this group telling you what your critical choices are? The Brookings Institute. Just watch your news and see how many times the Brookings Institute representative was quoted. Aspen Institute. That's the ones the head of the official religion in the United States called humanism, funded by this group. And the Supreme Court has ruled that humanism is a religion. Just as the Supreme Court has ruled three times that the United States is a Christian nation. Supposed to be. There was never any doubt about it. Then the National, by the way, Mondale's father, a United Methodist preacher, was one of the signatories of the Humanist Manifesto. National Council of Churches, World Council of Churches. Isn't it interesting? The head of the World Council of Churches is a KGB Russian general, a devout atheist. And then they control the money. This is very interesting. Mr. Rothschild said, that's Meyer Rothschild, in 1810 wrote in his book, a memoir, said, "Give me control over a nation's money, and I don't care who makes its laws." In other words, the lawmakers are just an exercise in futility if they don't control the money. In fact, he found that if he could control 10 to 20% of a nation's money, he could control that nation. Isn't it interesting? Japan owns 30% of this nation right now. 80% of all the money in the commercial banks in the United States is foreign money. Not the Americans investing, because you get yours all taxed away. Japan has no capital gains tax, and looks what it does over there. They even come over here and rape our land and don't even pay our government capital gains on the money they made here because they're Japanese citizens and they don't have a capital gains tax. They said, oh, the rich get richer. Well, the poor sure don't invest. So you got to get rid of the capital gains so that the people who have money can save money and invest it so the economy can go so the poorer folks can get a job. You tax away the capital, sure, some fat cat may live a little better, but at least you're working in this factory. It takes over $100,000 of capital money to create one industrial job in the United States. And when you don't have the investment, you don't have the jobs. Just that simple. Congressman Russ Tenskowski said he didn't know how he could explain to his constituents back in Detroit of giving a capital gains to the rich. Well, the idiot ought to figure out how he ever built the Ford Motor Company and the General Motors Company and all that. It was investment of capital. And the reason they're out of work is because he's taxing it all the way to give to... get off on that. Foreign aid. We have a larger national debt than all the rest of the world combined, and we still give foreign aid. You talk about a banana republic, we're it. Well, Federal Reserve. On that premise that if you could control the money, you control the country, they created the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve Act was passed 23rd of December 1913. I wish we had time to go through that. It was a real unique. You can see it was only two, 3 days before Christmas. Most of the honest congressmen had already gone home, but a few of the traitors waited behind. Woodrow Wilson called a special session, and they passed the Federal Reserve Act. If you wanted to, you could go back and get the congressional record of those debates, and there's one man, the father of Lindbergh, who was a congressman from New York, and he told exactly what was going to happen, but he was the voice in the wilderness. Well, that works so well. Here's what the IRS, Federal Reserve does. By the way, the IRS was passed at the same time, which is a world organization objective to tax away your well-being and to reduce you to the level that you wouldn't mind having the same as the communists have. So, the Federal Reserve Board, or Federal Reserve, is not a part of our government. That was a shock to me when I first heard that. It is not. It's a privately owned corporation owned by the large banks of this country and two or three British banks. But this is what it does. First, it controls how much money our banks can loan and at what interest rate they can loan it. So therefore, they will control the economy. But I think the biggest ripoff is that when they want to issue new currency, they order it from the U.S. Treasury, and the U.S. Treasury prints it at the rate of about 3 cents a copy. A dollar bill costs the same as a $100 bill, same paper, same ink, and it's delivered by the Treasury Department to the Federal Reserve Board to be issued through the Federal Reserve Centers, then guess how much the Federal Reserve pays for it? The printing cost. But they issue it at face value. Pat Robertson pointed out if we did away with that alone, it would wipe out our national debt. If the Treasury actually issued the money at its face value, it would solve it. And a majority vote by the Congress can get rid of the Federal Reserve. It's unconstitutional anyhow. So is the IRS unconstitutional, never ratified by the required two-thirds of the states. All those things. But they don't operate by law. When they created, that worked so well, they created the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, a World Bank. Interestingly, the individual who created that was Paul Volcker. At that time, he was Assistant Secretary of the State for Monetary Affairs. The Federal Reserve worked so well that they wanted an International Federal Reserve. 1944, it came into existence. Someone knowing Paul Volcker's background, who was once the head also of the New York Federal Reserve, when he became director or the chairman of the board of the Federal Reserve Board, said putting Paul Volcker in charge of your money is like putting Dracula in charge of your blood bank. And it really turned out. Of course, Alan Greenspan is also a part of the conspiracy. Now, here's one you're going to start. You won't hear a word about it, but just keep it in mind. The World Conservation Bank, the WCB. James Baker, 2 years ago, when he was Secretary of the Treasury, had a meeting out in Arizona with world leaders, and they came up with the WCB, the World Conservation Bank. You know, you can't repossess a country. The banana publics, all these countries that owe us a lot of money, the Rockefeller Rothschilds can't go down there and say, we pay on demand or we'll take your country. Well, that just doesn't work. You can control the country, but you really can't repossess it. So what they're doing, the World Conservation Bank, Earth Day, is that they'll create a World Conservation Bank, and any nation that will put up the proper amount of their territory or their land or their virgin forests and mineral reserves, their debt will be canceled. This involves one-third of the Earth's surface. Well, the WCB, you see, is now obligated to the international bankers who loan the money. Well, the World Conservation Bank has no operating funds, but it owns one-third of the Earth's surface. So they go bankrupt. Now who owns one-third of the Earth's surface? Rockefeller Rothschilds. And that's the way it'll work. Bolivia, many nations have already agreed to this thing. It's coming very fast. Remember, Earth Day is going to put the pressure on to turn over these lands. And, of course, the economic pressure to have their debts canceled is a real pressure. As I've already mentioned, the economic community over there will become one nation, in effect, first day of January, 1993. You can read about these plans by people who are part of them. The Age of Aquarius, The New World Order, the book, The Aquarian Conspiracy by Margaret Ferguson, and The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow by Constance Cumby. You see the rainbow almost everywhere. Some people are using it innocently, just as some people use the peace symbol, the broken cross inverted, which is a satanic symbol in a circle. And it's the same symbol that Hitler stamped all the death notices with when he was killing people in the furnaces over there. You say, well, what's the purpose of that? It's to get our young people to recognize the rainbow as a peace organization and the inverted broken cross as a peace organization. And when the crisis comes, do you think they'll rally around this flag? No, they've been told that we're the horrible ones and we're the cause of all the problems in the world. So they'll rally around the peace symbol and the rainbow, which is satanic. It's the New Age movement. The New Age movement is to give spirituality, a spiritual dimension to this conspiracy. Most of the people I've mentioned, like Schultz and Zbigniew Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger, are all in the upper echelons of the New Age movement. The New Age movement is sort of an umbrella organization that brings all the idiot groups together for the coordinated constructions. Or traitors. By the way, that's what Lenin called them. Lenin, in his book, called people like Ted Kennedy, Senator Metzenbaum, and Cranston of California, he called them useful idiots because they cooperate in their own destruction. And guess what? They're number 5 on their list to be killed because if they'll betray their own country, they can't trust them either. Christians are number three on the list. Right after leading governor officials, leading military officials, and Christian. There are 14 categories of people that have to be killed when the communists take over in a country. And they do it. They did it in every country so far. Well, remember the unseen hand that will merge us together. Many things that we could say, we hope we can say them some other time. I want to get on with the bankers, the international bankers, of course, in the United States, the great bank, Bank of America, one of the largest, most solvent banks in all the countries out in California. The Tri-State Corporation was purchased back in 1976 by the Rothschilds. You didn't read about that in the paper. 1983, Jacob Rothschild created Charterhouse J. Rothschild, which Business Week of 21 November 83 said it's the most powerful investment bank present in London or New York. And you go on down. The Panama Canal is an interesting study. The Panamanian government owed the Chase Manhattan Bank and the other bankers $500 million, a half a billion, and there was no hopes of getting it unless we could get them to take the canal and then pay them to take it. And we paid them $4 billion to take the canal. Most of it never left the country. It went to Rockefellers and Rothschilds, which I'll call Rockychilds from now on, so you'll know what I'm talking about. They coordinate. Then there was the oil crisis. There was a non-crisis. We still have oil coming out our ears. I was born and raised in Andrews County when 1936 they struck oil. The claim to fame for Andrews County is it produces more oil than any other county in the whole state of Texas, up on the high plains of Texas. And when I was waiting in line in Washington, D.C. for up to 2 hours to get 5 gallons of gasoline in 1973, they were dumping train loads of gasoline back into the ground down in Pecos County in some of those places. I called a friend of mine, a county commissioner, and then he told me that, because I knew. I worked for Humboldt Oil and Refining, and out in Andrews County, you punch a hole in the ground, and you start drilling until you hit granite, and between the surface of the ground and granite, there are 7 pay levels, 7 pools of oil, and they haven't used the first 2 yet. Why? Well, it costs about $5 a barrel to get the oil to the top of the ground, and they want you to pay almost that much for 5 gallons. Also, is to gain control. Did you notice how many independent gas stations went out of business and are still vacant? Sure. Did you know in the last crunch down in Texas how many independent oil companies no longer exist? It's control. They control our money, Federal Reserve. They control our energy. And now they're moving to control food. Then they have absolute control, and they're moving in. This outfit created communism. Say how? Well, we'll briefly tell you. They just simply saw that Mr. Kerensky of the Soviet Union was creating a democracy in 1916, in that time frame. The czars were not deposed. They just stepped down to avoid a revolution. You won't read this in your history books, but it's a fact. See, some of these things are not too much history to me. I was around for some of them. And he had taken the parliamentary system of the British, but he had adopted almost totally the American Constitution and Bill of Rights and our court systems. And he was in the business of trying to establish that. Well, this conspiracy group couldn't have that, because in a democracy you have to buy too many people to control too many people. They much prefer a dictatorship. So if you can't get the dictator to do what you want him to do, or if he rebels, then you just shoot him and get another one. And so that's what they did. And so the United States, under Woodrow Wilson, with a man named House, who was a part of the conspiracy, the United States put in $20 million. Back in those days, that'd be about like $20 billion today. And the European conspirators put in another $20 million, and they found an old rebel called Lenin. That's not his real name, but Lenin over in England. And they had 500 mercenaries and put them in a train, and that train crossed every nation almost in Europe and was never stopped for a check, and went in and overthrew the government. And to date, the Soviets, the communists, have killed an estimated 200 million people. That's the population of the United States almost. As Glenn pointed out, in 1949 to 50 over in China, they killed at least 120 million people over there. So, but they're our friends, you see. We trade them. If you want to read about that, there's an excellent book entitled Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. or another one by Howard Katz entitled The Warmongers. The most excellent one is why an excellent scholar and professor wrote a book entitled National Suicide, Antony, not Anthony, Antony Sutton, but it was so scholarly that not too many people read it. But he condensed it into a popular version entitled, and this is how we support China and the Soviet Union with our technology and our food and our money, and the name of the book is The Best Enemy Money Can Buy. Why do we support them? It's to scare us into surrendering our sovereignty to the United Nations, the one world government. Land given by the Rockefellers and the building built by the United States, and we still pay 25% of all of its total bills, and the other 160 nations get a free ride and always vote against us. And Jimmy Carter, this is our heritage of the Carter administration. Jimmy Carter, 5 October 1977, signed the United Nations Human Rights Treaty. Doesn't that sound beautiful? Sure does. Every president since 1948 had refused to sign that traitorous document, but Carter signed it. And if that treaty is ever implemented, the United States will no longer be a sovereign nation. It'll just be a principality or a province in the United Nations, and private property will cease to exist. That's the legacy of the peanut farmer. You'll have no rights. And I mentioned the excellent book entitled Call It Conspiracy. Many people have spoken out against this conspiracy. Senator Goldwater, he wrote in his book, "The Trilateral Convention represents a skillful, coordinated effort to seize control and consolidate the four centers of power, political, monetary, intellectual, and ecclesiastical." Very true. Pat Robertson, personal friend of mine now for nearly 20 years. I was so surprised about 3 weeks ago down in Virginia. My wife and I were busy painting and cleaning up a house, trying to get it ready to sell, and the doorbell rang, and I went to the door and just stood Pat. And I had paint from my head to my feet, and Pat smiled, and he said, "Brother, I came to deliver you from whatever's got you." He said, "Dean's out in the car, why don't you and Ruth come have lunch with us?" So we did. And Pat Robertson says, "It is absolutely vital that we take control of the United States government away from the Trilateral Commission and the Council of Foreign Relations." 13th of April, 1976, a man I knew fairly well, because he had filed a suit against me in the United States courts because I had signed the orders to send a draft dodger to Vietnam. Charles Morgan, he was appearing on PBS television, and he was saying some very unusual things. He was the director of the American Civil Liberties Union. Actually, it's the Anti-Christian Liberties Union. And he said, quote, "I have become disillusioned with the ACLU." Well, I sure hope so. "I have submitted my resignation. And after my years in Washington, D.C., I am convinced that the American government is a conspiracy against the best interest of the American people." Right on, Mr. Morgan. By the way, he lost his court, and I got the guy to Vietnam. And Henry Ford said in 1945, "If the American people knew the corruption in our money system, there would be a revolution before morning." The humorist Will Rogers said, "The best way to rob a bank is to own one." Well, look at the savings and loan. Who's going to pay for their ripoff? You and I. A tune of about $3,000 per person. Quickly, the communist, Glasnost, meaning openness. Glasnost says this. Openness. "Those who do not learn from history," this is my quote, "those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it." The main thing we can learn from history is that we don't learn from history. The current Glasnost is Glasnost number 6. 1921 to 29, number 1. 1936-37, number 2. 1941 to 45, number 3. 1956-59, number 4. 1970-75, number 5. And number 6 started in 1985, and they planned for it then in 1995 when they will conquer the world in a bloodbath. Why did they do it? Their economy is collapsing. It has collapsed, never has worked. But they're rearming rapidly. While they're saying peace, they're rearming. They're destroying, the only weapons they're destroying are the old World War II weapons. Right now, they're turning out 10 tanks a day. A new submarine over 37 days. All of that going on. They spend 30% of their gross national product on war equipment. We spend 6%, and they're talking about cutting it in 25%, one-fourth. So while they're rearming, we're disarming. This is all planned. And we'll know if we have time in a minute, we'll show. But the communists have, since 1917, have conquered 54 countries. Most of them are out of war. But in every one of those 54 countries, they still control the army, the armed forces, and the police. Every one of the previous Glasnost movements have ended in a bloodbath. Every one of them. We'll do the same thing with the Soviets that we did with China. Well, let's forget it. You don't want to upset it. That we're destroying South Africa, which has been our friend. They fought on our side in World War II, World War I, World War II, and I had good friends in the South African Air Force in Korea. They volunteered to send forces to Vietnam, and they wouldn't belong. The only true statement that George Bush has ever made, I think, is he said, the problem in South Africa is not apartheid, it's tribalism. There are 9 tribes down there, they're killing each other, right and left. Mr. Botha-Lazy, a Christian, the head of the Zulus, which is the biggest group down there, have consistently asked permission to go in and destroy the communist organization called the African National Congress, of which Mandela is the head of it. He is an avowed communist. He makes no bones about it. His best friends, as he just told us, was Castro, Arafat, and Gaddafi. Make no bones about it. Ticker tape parades in New York for him and addressing the Joint Congress and all of that. 3 million members of the Zulu tribe, all born again, some of them baptized in the Holy Spirit, held a 3-day meeting over there, and President Botha at that time addressed them, and they applauded him regularly, and it goes on and on and on and on. But you didn't read about that in your newspaper. You have 17 idiots show up on the street, and it'll be on the evening news. 800,000 Christians went to Washington in 1982. Wasn't mentioned on most news media. Well, so they can end it any time they want to. The purpose was to let us to pass their deadbeat countries onto our welfare rules while they rearm. That's just that simple. And also, openness. This has happened before, both in the Soviet Union and China. They have this freedom-type thing so that the leaders of the dissidents will be clearly identified, and then when they get ready, they kill them all. They call it a purge. We had time, and our time has run out, but I'll just point out that if the news media would simply print the statements that Gorbachev has made, they would curl your hair just in the recent area. Isn't it interesting that the USSR, the Soviets, and China are directly responsible for the murder and killing of 112,000 American men in Korea and Vietnam, 54,000 KIAs in Korea and 58,000 in Vietnam? They're directly responsible for that because they created the war and they supported the wars. But yet South Africa, our friend, as I just mentioned, has never turned against us. But yet, USSR and China is most favored nation in trade, and we're destroying South Africa. As I pointed out repeatedly, our foreign policy has consistently been since the end of World War II is to reward our enemies, treat all of our enemies as friends and all of our friends as enemies. Gus Hall, the head of Communist Party USA, said we have more influence now than we've ever had before because we have created the atmosphere that the USSR is no longer a threat to America. And we're destroying South Africa and Taiwan. Well, this bunch will come to an end. God has everything under control. The Bible says in Isaiah 5, verse 20, in the last days, evil shall become good. Good shall become evil. You can see that all over. Then he says, Isaiah says, woe unto them who call evil good and good evil, because both are equally an abomination unto the Lord. Proverbs 17:15 says, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous is both an abomination unto the Lord. Proverbs 16:9, man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. Even picking out the 10 legions and all the others that are down the line. Somewhere around the year 2000, they plan to take over. Actually, the communists, 1995, is their objective. If they can ever take the guns away, they've had it. And that's their big objective. Revelation 14:8, and the second messenger angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. The great city, that's New York, can show you mathematically. Because she made all nations drink with her wine and her fornication. Revelation 18:2. Another messenger, an angel, cried mightily, saying with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great has fallen, and it has become the habitation of devils. How about that? And the hole of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird, and all nations have drunk of her wine, and entered into her wrath of her fornications, and the rulers of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants, the money group, of the earth have become rich through their power and the blood of the saints, wars. Well, what do we do? I only have one suggestion, is to become informed and be led by the Holy Spirit. I can't give you a pat answer, but you will begin to understand why things have happened the way they have happened and will be happening. And that's the only answer, because those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. You should begin to get people to run for office, local level, get them elected, and a national, state level, and own up the land, get them all. It's a progression. Usually, well, I can just see this bunch. They just recently met in Washington, D.C. in April, and they met in Vermont. The Bilderbergers met in Vermont in May, and the Trilateralists in Washington in April. I can just see them meeting sometime in the near future, and they'll all be buying and selling with a number. We'll have the one world government. Everything may be going along pretty much as it is, but if they control it, they don't care who makes the laws. You probably wouldn't see a lot of difference. In fact, they probably have a one world government right now. And we're still looking for it to happen. We're seeing manifestations of it that have already come into existence. And whoever the leader, probably David Rockefeller or Edmund Devens Rothschild, and they'll say, well, we have absolute control now. No one can buy or sell without our approval. And about that time, somebody will jump to his feet and say, did you hear that trumpet? I hope you think I'm not so foolish to think that's a literal trumpet, but a clear voice will. They've had it. And the Lord says, I have a special place for you for about 1,000 years. It's called the fire pit over here. And you can join. I'd like to show you the transparencies. Our time has run out, but I want to show you. I think the visual bit of it would help you. Here are the 54 nations. I call it the battles of World War III, because World War III started when World War II ended. At the end of the revolution over there, they had 11 nations by 1924. Then 8 more were added by the end of World War II, these and betrayals. And then the 35 others were all added in a war called peace. Remember the scripture says, when they cry peace, peace, and there is no peace? I like the scripture of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. We have no need that I write unto you about the great day of the Lord, for you know perfectly well the great day of the Lord, the thief in the night. But then he gives a sign. He says, for when they cry peace and safety, they meaning the heathen, the Satan worshippers, when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as the pain in childbirth, and they shall not escape. And then verse 4 says, but you are not in the darkness that that day should come upon you as a thief. So the secrets of God are only hidden from the heathen, not from his people, if they're studied to show themselves approved as God. You can see on the map very clearly these new transparencies, they don't. You can see in 1945, the Soviet Union, at the end of it, they had just taken a few countries in the World War II, but then look today down there, Africa, all the way around. Very, very progressive. And here's how we've done it. We, meaning the United States and the communists, this is the way we've done it. The way they do it, they start out with a targeted country, and they start bringing up all sorts of horrible things about them, that they are creating all sorts of things, and they tell the country to surrender or negotiate. Remember, that was Jesse Jackson's response, that the people in Nicaragua negotiate and everything. And then the targeted country will not surrender, that's number 2, and then they will start in the news media all the horrible things that are happening in the targeted country, like South Africa. And then they will start dreaming up all sorts of things against the leaders. And then they'll start building up their army and go along. And then finally, the United States will pull all support from them, and the nation will collapse. We did that to South Vietnam also. We'll get into that on the night of the 4th of July when you tell you the truth about Vietnam. So you can see all those countries. Right now they're working on South Africa, but Free China, Taiwan, and of course you'll see they're working on Israel too, all the way along. So it's really nothing new. And my answer to people say that, oh, apartheid is awful. Well, it might be, but why aren't they escaping? The big problem in South Africa is all the black people in Africa want to live in South Africa, because the black South Africans in South Africa have more cars and more TVs and more refrigerators. The 20 million of those black Africans have more of those things and more freedom than the 270 million living in the Soviet Union. They have the same problem at their border that we do in Mexico, but they're running from communism. Dmitry Malinsky, president of the Lenin School of Political Warfare, 1935, and this continues to be their theme. War to the hilt between capitalism and communism is inevitable. But today we are too weak to strike. Our day will come, but first the capitalist nation, stupid and decadent, must be lulled to sleep with the greatest overtures of peace and disarmament known throughout all history. And then, when the guard is dropped, we will smash them with the clenched fist. Sound familiar? Didn't just happen. Now, if the people will just print what Gorbachev, affectionately known as Garbage Head, Lenin wrote in 1920, our purpose is the creation of a worldwide Soviet Republic. First, we will take Eastern Europe. They had it. Then the masses of Asia, 1959, and Vietnam, they have that. Then we will surround the United States, that's Central America and Cuba and all the others. Which will be the last stronghold of capitalism? We'll not have to attack. It'll fall into our hands like a rotten fruit. They call that peaceful coexistence, or surrender on the installment plan. And you saw the chart. Brezhnev, 1973. We have achieved through detente what our predecessors have failed to do with the mailed fist of military power. Salt 1, Salt 2, anti-ballistic missile. For the communists, and they laugh about it, SALT does not state strategic arms limitation. They say it stands for Stop America's Leading Technology, and it always has. Gorbachev, isn't that interesting? 1987, 2 years after Glasnost started, said, we're not retreating even one step from socialism, from Marxist-Leninism, from everything that we have been gained. Yes, 54 countries. In 1917, we parted with the old world. We rejected it once and for all. We're moving toward a new world, the world of communism. We shall never turn off that road. It's called Glasnost. As I told the people here probably 4 years ago that you'd see NATO destroyed. How did I know that? Because a conspirator, Lord Carrington, had been appointed the Secretary General of NATO. It's destroyed now. It's gone. And then, just in 1988, Gorbachev said to the United Nations General Assembly, we are not abandoning our convictions, our philosophy, or our traditions. They're going right ahead. And so you can see those. I wish we had time for questions and try to answer, but talked much too long. Now, next session, I'll be naming the people for you. And if we have time, I'll tell you what Watergate was all about and what Oliver North and that situation is all about. Now, there's some excellent publications you can get. These are free. They're back there on the table right under the clock. It's a list. It has an 800 number you can call. I would recommend the Daily News Digest for you. And then, of course, the Rapture Sheet. As I might have said, I'm going to be an overcomer, not a copywriter. And I'm looking for the appearing Christ, not the disappearing saints. And these I was able to purchase just before coming. Here are the people who want to rule the world, the Trilateral Commission. They're at the book table. They're $1 a piece. I would like to give them to you, but I found when you give things away, people don't read them. But if you pay some money for it, you feel obligated to read them. So that's it. And God bless you, and our food's getting cold. And I will try to have some time sometime that we can answer some of your questions. God bless you and keep you. God has everything under control. Yes. Well, we're going to bless the food. Lord, we thank you for this fellowship and this time together. And Lord, we ask you to bless this food, and we consecrate it to our use and our blessing as we dedicate ourselves to the purposes of the Lord Jesus Christ as his feet in this world. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.